Crisis averted for the moment.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson, and we'll start at Zuccotti Park in New York City, the site of the Occupy Wall Street protests. Officials were planning to force protesters out of the park this morning so they could clean it. But shortly before the deadline, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the authorities backed down. Marketplace's Elisa Roth is with us now from Zuccotti Park with the latest. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what's been the reaction there to this last-minute about-face by the authorities?
The reaction has really been one of confusion. Nobody knows how long it's postponed for or what the postponement really means. So I think everybody's relieved that there's not going to be a confrontation with the police today, but really nobody knows what to make of it.
And the confrontation, of course, would have been over having the protesters temporarily leave the park so that the park could be cleaned. But it sounds like the protesters didn't exactly believe that that's all the authorities had in mind.
That's right, because while the official line was that you can go back after we clean, they also said when you go back, we're not going to allow sleeping bags, we're not going to allow tarps, all these other things that allowed the protesters to have an encampment here on Broadway. And so it was a de facto shutting down of the protest.
So now that this decision has happened at the last second, has the tension gone away, Elisa?
You know, the protesters are still out in force. The crowd has been growing since I got here. Just now, they're marching down to Wall Street, although they've left a critical mass in the park, of course, to continue making the statement. Some people did tell us that they're pleased that in this moment of crisis, when they thought they'd be kicked out, they got this kind of turnout of supporters. So even if ultimately the protest ends up being shut down, they have shown that they have the numbers, they have the support.
Marketplace's Elisa Roth joining us from Zuccotti Park in New York. Thanks, Elisa.
You're welcome.
Well, now to Paris, France, where finance ministers from the world's biggest economies are this morning. The G20 ministers are talking about the debt crisis in Europe, which has the potential to spread far beyond the continent if it's not contained. The BBC's Hugh Schofield is in Paris, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Well, let me ask you first, in the context of all of the big meetings that go on involving the European debt crisis, what's the significance of this one happening today in Paris?
Well, I mean, its significance is that it comes right at a crux time for the Eurozone debt crisis. We're approaching yet again a sort of crunch moment. In a week from now, we've got the European summit in Brussels, where some kind of mega plan is supposed to be announced.
Right.
Just a week after that, we've got the G20 heads of state and government meeting in Cannes, where again, big announcements are expected. This meeting today and tomorrow is supposed to sort of prepare the ground for all of that. So it's crucial because it's a crucial time.
And tell me about the role of the G20 in this. Usually we hear about the IMF or the European Union being involved in dealing with the European debt crisis. What's the G20's role?
You know, the G20 is this expanded body really developed over the last 2 or 3 years to bring in the new players in the world economy.
Right.
Now, clearly, the Eurozone crisis is primarily a Euro crisis, a European crisis, but it does impact on the whole world. And what we're hearing from French officials here who are hosting the event is that the world economy is not exactly in great shape at the moment. So it's in everyone's interest to get this Eurozone sovereign debt crisis sorted out. And I think there is a hope that there is a role to be played by the Brazils, by the Chinas, by the great creditor, booming economies, because it's their money, maybe, that will be required to sort of help boost Europe as it goes through this terribly difficult period that it's going through now.
The BBC's Hugh Schofield joining us from Paris. Thanks, Hugh.
Okay.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Asia, but up across Europe this morning. Here in this country, the parent companies of the online video site Hulu say Hulu is no longer for sale. Hulu has been gaining traction recently as rival Netflix has stumbled, and the owners think it could be worth a lot more down the road. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 42 points to close at 11,478.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Harper Business, publisher of Great by Choice by Jim Collins and Morton T. Hansen, exploring why some companies thrive despite uncertainty wherever books are sold. By the PBS Arts Fall Festival with Gilbert and Sullivan's HMS Pinafore, tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS. And by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
President Obama and South Korean President Lee Myung-bak are headed to Detroit today. They'll be there touting the Korean free trade deal that Congress approved 2 days ago, which is aimed at opening up both countries to more competition from one another. But Michigan and the auto industry have traditionally been leery of foreign competition. So are they really ready to roll out the red carpet for President Lee? Michigan Radio's Jennifer Guerra has more.
For a long time, American cars were king in Michigan. Charlie Ballard is an economics professor at Michigan State University. He recalls the story of a group of guys who bought a Toyota solely for the purpose of bashing the hell out of it with a baseball bat.
I think that left an impression, at least with the Japanese, that has lingered to this day, an impression that would make them wary about investing in Michigan.
But things are different these days. The ongoing struggles of the Michigan economy and the state's auto industry have made Michiganders more open to foreign trade and investment. Automakers and auto workers support the new free trade agreement with South Korea because it will eventually end tariffs on American-made auto parts. UAW President Bob King says the pact will create more jobs because more vehicles will be sold. But as far as Michigan being a friendly enough state for South Korea to want to set up a plant?
Unfortunately, when companies come to America, they run to the South and try to remain non-union. So I don't think they'll come to Michigan.
Instead, he says they'll probably go to Georgia and Alabama. I'm Jennifer Guerra for Marketplace.
And finally, to a new survey about kids' least favorite Halloween treats. I would have thought it would be apples or those candy corn things. But according to the survey from a company called Cozy, it turns out the answer is pencils, toothbrushes, and coupons. I'd like to know who gives pencils and coupons to kids on Halloween. By the way, the survey says kids will take money if that's all you've got. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
For most, Friday is the end of a long, hard week. But for us, we're just getting started.
The policies that were put forward, they are get-back-to-work policies.
Well, I would love to see a massive, big stimulus.
Greece is kind of like a big, giant subprime borrower without a loan modification plan.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap. Everything you need to know about the week's big economic news and oh so much more. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.